When we come to the Lord's table, we think about the cross. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. What do we show forth by breaking bread, drinking the cup, by taking part in the bread and the cup? There are basically two things we are showing. One is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11. And the other in 1 Corinthians 10. So some of you already know that. There are many people here who may not know, but it's good to know now. In 1 Corinthians 11 it says, verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So there are two things I'm testifying to. One, Jesus died for me. And the other, He's coming. That's also mentioned in this verse. He's not yet come, but He's coming. And here I am in between, in the space of time, in between His death and His coming. And until He comes, I have to keep proclaiming the Lord's death. So what does it mean to proclaim the Lord's death? When I eat this bread and drink this cup, I'm saying Jesus died for my sins. There's not a single verse in the New Testament, let me tell you, or anywhere, that says Jesus died to take us to heaven. That is a wrong teaching given by so many people whose only interest in life is to go to heaven. And that is the reason why there was so much of shallow Christianity, where people only think of going to heaven. But here it says He died. Jesus died to save us from sin. Christ died for our sins. Throughout the New Testament, He came to save us from sin. He did not come to take us to heaven. The angel did not say to Joseph, "You shall call His name Jesus because He's going to take His people to heaven." No. You shall call His name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. And Jesus' death was not to take people to heaven, but to save people from their sins. Somehow, through the centuries, that has been twisted to think in terms of heaven as our goal. And as long as you make heaven your goal in life, I'll tell you, you will not take sin seriously. You'll be thinking, yeah, He'll come and take me to heaven. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, Paul says. And when I was in Sunday school, I was taught by teachers who did not know the full truth. And they told me I would go to heaven. I said, okay. But when I began to study the Bible in the New Testament myself, I found Jesus did not die to take me to heaven. He died to save me from my sin now, not in the future. So if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to save me from sin now, how am I proclaiming the Lord's death? So we need to have a fundamental change of mind and attitude when we come to the Lord's table. Lord, I am here to proclaim that You died to deliver me from sin. And I remember, I've said this before, I told the Lord this, Lord, I don't care if I go to heaven or hell. It has no interest for me. If You are there, that's all I want to be. I'm ready to go to hell, Lord Jesus, if You are there, because that will become heaven for me. I've discovered heaven here on this earth. How? Not geographically. I mean, we get sick. We have so many problems on this earth. But the presence of Jesus, to me, that is heaven. And the presence of Jesus is what saves me from sin. Salvation from some sin. That is my heaven. My heaven is not, oh, I won't have any sickness, I won't shed any tears, I won't have people to trouble me. Those are all the way of thinking of selfish people. I want to encourage you today when you come to break bread to think of heaven as, at last I'll be free from sin completely, because that is my longing. My heaven is to be totally free from sin. And as we experience that here, we experience heaven now itself. I'll tell you this. I'm experiencing it now in many ways. in heaven, I will never get angry with anybody. Well, if I go 366 days of this year without losing my temper at my wife, heaven has already begun for me. Or if I lived like that the last year, I've experienced heaven already in that area. And in heaven, I will not be worried if I lose money. And now if I lose money, and God's allowed me to lose that many times, and I sleep peacefully because I'm in heaven. Loss of money does, I can say before God that loss of money does not disturb me. And God has tested me with different levels of loss of money in the way I try to earn my money, honestly, uprightly, and in paying my taxes always absolutely righteously without hiding anything and never touching 1 rupee of black money anywhere. That's my heaven. You people who deal with black money, don't talk about heaven. You have no interest in heaven. Be honest about that. Your only money is such a big factor to you. And the same way the Lord has tested me by suddenly giving me something in my business which I didn't expect, a profit. And it's the same. I say, Lord, whether the graph goes up or down, that is not my heaven. My heaven is Jesus Christ. Examine yourself. You can have heaven now because He came to save me from sin. And where He sees that I'm attached to something, He will free me from it. I prayed earnestly, Lord, if You see the slightest attachment to money in my life, do something drastic to free me from it. Just like you'd go to a doctor. You know how people go to a doctor and the doctor says, I've got to cut out that whole organ. If you are to be saved from the cancer, cut it out, doctor. I don't want to die of cancer. And you see in the Bible how there were different people with different degrees of love of money, like cancer. Zacchaeus, he said, I'll give half my goods to the poor. Jesus said, fine, that's enough. The rich man came. Jesus said, you got to give 100% of your money to the poor. Then only you'll be saved, because the cancer was much worse. The whole organ had to be removed. In Zacchaeus' case, only half the organ had to be removed. Lazarus in Martha's case, he didn't ask them to sell their house. There was no need to remove it. So you find different ones of us are in different levels. So if we see that my heaven is to be saved from sin, I'm proclaiming the Lord's death. Let me take the breaking of bread seriously. Lord, I want to ask myself, am I really seeking to be saved from sin? It's not only from sin. Have you seen this verse? Jesus died to save us from... Remember, we are proclaiming the Lord's death. He died not only to save us from sin, but something that causes sin. Turn to Galatians and chapter 1. It says here, He gave him, verse 4, He gave Himself for us, for our sins, number 1. That is number 1, always number 1. He gave Himself for our sins. And secondly, to rescue us from this present evil world. In the margin of my Bible, it says world. In some of your Bibles also, world. That is a real word there. He came to save me from sin and to deliver me from this world. The world grips us through money, pleasure, usually, and honor. These are the three grips with which the world grips us. I'll give you money. I'll give you sinful pleasure. I'll give you honor before men. He came to free me from that. And I'm proclaiming the Lord's death to say, Lord, I want to proclaim You're freeing me from money. You're from the love of money. You're freeing me from the love of sinful pleasure. And You're freeing me from the love of seeking honor from people, whether believers or unbelievers. He came to free me from sin and He came to rescue me from this evil world, because that, verse 4, is the will of God the Father. So that is what it means to proclaim the Lord's death. That means I acknowledge why He died. So that's the first thing. My attitude to sin has changed completely, and I'm waiting for the Lord's coming, not to go to heaven, but to be 100% free from sin, because there's still unconscious sin which we don't know in all of us. So I'm looking forward to that day when there'll be not even a smell of cancer in our body. be completely free from all sin. And the second thing we proclaim is written in 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians 10 it says, when we take this cup of blessing, verse 16, and we bless sharing in the blood of Christ, the bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. There are two bodies of Christ. One is the physical body in which he died. And I proclaim through the breaking of bread, I get a benefit from that physical body that died on the cross. But there's another testimony. One bread is cut up into many pieces and we take part. And that is proclaiming there is another body Christ has today, which is here. And we are all partaking of it. You know, when there are only 10 or 11 people, we can have one piece of bread. When there are more people, like in the past, we had number of buns here, number of pieces, slices of bread. Now here, it says, there is one bread. I mean, as I said, for the sake of numbers, we have many, but there is one bread. And we are, that testifies that we who are many are one body. That is the second testimony. One, that Jesus' physical body died on the cross, took care of my sin. And now Jesus has another body with whom I am breaking bread along with them. And I'm saying, I am part of this body because, verse 17, we all partake of the one bread. That's the meaning of breaking of bread. So that is why I say, if you are not committed to this local church, you're telling a lie when you break bread. Now, you may not be here, you may be a visitor, but if you appreciate fellowship here, that's fine. You can break bread. But if you're not committed to this local church, you're just going through a ritual, like the CSI ritual of, and other denominations have a ritual of breaking a bread, or the Roman Catholics. We don't despise them, we love them. But I say that is not what we practice here. We practice that we commit ourselves to one thing, proclaiming the Lord's death, and the other, that we are one body breaking one bread. So you need to ask yourself, first of all, what is your attitude to sin? And secondly, what's your attitude to this body? Don't just say, I come and sit here. That means absolutely nothing. The demons come and sit here too, to try and make people think of something else, turn their minds away. You think the demons don't attend service? Where do you think Satan sends the most powerful demons in Bangalore? I hope he sends them to our church because he fears it the most. It's a great honor if Satan says, I'm scared of that church, you better, most powerful demons go there. I don't want anyone to be gripped by what they hear over there. So the fact that you attend this church means nothing. Demons attend it too. And you may be no better than a demon and you can sit here. Your attitude to sin, that's the test, number one. And your attitude to other members of this body. If those two things are not right, now is the time to repent. We talked about judging ourselves. It is in relation to judging ourselves that it says here in 1 Corinthians 11. Therefore let a man examine himself, verse 29. 1 Corinthians 11, 29. A man must examine himself, or a woman must examine herself. About what? What is my attitude to sin? And what is my attitude to this body of Christ meeting here? Two things. Examine yourself. And then eat and the bread and drink the cup. But if you don't examine yourself in your attitude to sin and to this body, then I have to say to you, you mean nobody will stop you from eating, but verse 29, you're eating and drinking judgment to yourself because you did not judge the body of Christ rightly. And that is the reason, verse 30, why many among you remain weak and sick, and a number die before their time. Do you know that sickness can come by not breaking bread with the right spirit? Death can come before the time if you play the fool with breaking of bread. I have to tell you the truth. It's written here. But If we judge ourselves rightly, verse 31, then we will not be judged. Sickness and death, it says here, are a judgment. Read verse 30 and 31 together. Sickness and death are sometimes a judgment on a believer for taking part unworthily. For this reason, verse 30. That means you didn't judge yourself and take part. For he who eats and drinks without judging himself is eating and drinking judgment to himself. Verse 31. But if we judge ourselves rightly, that judgment will not come. So the place where we are reminded to judge ourselves particularly is when we come together to break bread at least once a month. Do you know that the early Christians, do you know how often they broke bread? There are some churches who say, Brother Zach, why doesn't your church break bread every week? Because it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, the church in Troas gathered together to break bread. Yeah? Jesus never said once a week, he never said once a month, he never said once a year. He said, as often as you do it. So each church decides how frequently they do it. That church in Troas gathered on the first day of the week. It is not a command. You must never make a doctrine out of what you read in the Acts of the Apostles. Because Paul circumcised Timothy also then. You don't have to do that. But what I want to show you is, that is some years later. But when the first church was baptized in the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 46, they broke bread every day. So it was not once a week. So all these people who say that we should break once a week, I say, where do you get that from? They say, Acts of the Apostles. I say, go to Acts chapter 2. When they backslid, they did it once a week. When they were wholehearted, verse 46, Acts 2, they broke bread every day. I thought about that. Every day. To live in such a way that I want to be free from sin and value the body of Christ. It's possible for them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe it's possible for us. I believe that I can break bread every day of my life and mean it every day. It will not be a ritual. But many believers are not at that level. So, sometimes in CFC we have broken bread once in 6 months because some people were not right with the Lord and we said things are not right, we have got to wait. And then of course we don't want to punish people who are walking with the Lord, so we finally decided that we'd have it once a month so that it doesn't become a ritual. But you know the ideal is to break bread every day, because I judge myself every day. Every one of us should be judging ourselves every day. And if you can't even judge yourself once a month when you come for breaking your bread, I want to say to you, after all these years in CFC, there's not much hope for someone like that. After all these years, you don't take sin seriously. You don't take your anger seriously. Always justifying yourself. You can justify yourself here. One day when you stand before the Lord, what's going to happen? I'm sorry to say, many people fear man more than they fear God. That's a tragedy. So, dear brothers and sisters, let's come with a holy fear of God and say, Lord, you know my heart. You know everything about me. What does it matter what men think about me? That's unimportant. You know my heart, and I want to stand before you when I break bread. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. So you're perfectly free when the bread comes to you to pass it to the next person. Say, I'm not ready to break bread today. You're perfectly free, and don't bother about what people think about you. Say, Lord, I'll be ready next time. I've got things to settle. You got things to settle with your wife, your husband, with somebody you have wronged. Can you take a decision now that you will do it and keep your word? Keep your word, then you can break bread. But if you're still uncertain, you're still blaming the other person, I would recommend that you don't break bread and don't eat and drink judgment to yourself. Any of you who are blaming somebody else, finding fault with somebody else, I really don't believe you're fit to break bread. I'll tell you the truth. Because that's the mark of the devil who accuses others. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took the blame himself for sins he did not even commit. Are you following him? Or following the devil who accuses others? You did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, there, she did this, he did this. Dear brothers, it's a serious thing to break bread. And I want to help you to take it seriously. Many people have got so accustomed to doing it like a ritual that even once a month becomes, we just go through it. Please don't do that today. In your own interest, please don't do it. Never mind everybody else. You judge yourself. I do that every time because I fear God. I believe Jesus is here and I want to do it in His presence. And I tell you, I couldn't care less what the rest of you think about me. I'm concerned what He thinks about me, who sees right through my heart. I want to break bread today in His presence and drink the cup and say, Lord, I mean it. This is my testimony that I want to be free from sin 100% and I will not blame anybody else. And I want to value this body in which you have put me, not just in words, but in actions. Let's pray.